Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the How We Scaled show. My name is Jeff Brandeis, president and founder of CEO of Brandeis Coaching and Brandeis Training Solutions. Each of our episodes will feature a CEO, VP of sales, or an entrepreneur that has scaled their business to six, seven, even eight figures. And on the show, we will ask questions to them about what they did that scaled their business, that grew their revenues, that made them what they are today. So you ready to listen and learn? Stay tuned. One, two, and three. Here we go. Welcome back, everyone. This is Jeff Brandeis. I'm so happy to have you here on How We Scaled. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, this afternoon, or this evening, depending on wherever your time zone you're listening at. Today, I have a fascinating guest for all of you. You'll learn so much more about him and his company. I welcome Jay Davila. Jay, welcome. And tell the audience a little bit about yourself and the company and what do you do?
Sure. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm Jay Garvella. I'm the founder and CEO at YakTrak. Born and raised in India, where I studied electronics and, finance at university. Did my first startup. It was in the area of network consulting. That was in the 1990s. It was a while ago. Did some interesting stuff, you know, there in and also sort of towards the end of my life in India, I did some little bit of investment banking as well for the high tech sector. That was around the time of the dot-com bubble and the boom and all that kind of thing that found its way to Indian shores as well. And then by about 2002, I had moved over to Vancouver, Canada with my family.
I love Vancouver.
Yeah, it's an absolutely beautiful city. The first things I did in North America was, you know, to work for companies like Microsoft, like T-Mobile out of Seattle, as well as TELUS here in Vancouver. A couple of years into that, which is around 2010 or so, I started YakTrak. The idea of YakTrak really was that I had, as a student. When I was back in engineering, you know, I'd had the good fortune of working on speech synthesis way back in 1988. I was an intern at Tata Unisys in India, in their facilities out there in Bombay, and we'd worked on some very interesting tech, and it was obviously quite excited by it at the time. You were young, and you know, AI in 1988 was like a wow kind of a thing. The fact that you're even working on this sort of thing at all, always wanted to get back to that. And so YakTrak, in a sense, was my opportunity there. I began it from the perspective of an engineer, like saying that, look, I'd like to do something in the area of speech tech and speech-based AI, right? It was still not an emerging thing back then. It was still, I think, not as much of a big deal as it has turned out to be in the last 5 years. But it was very subjective. It was like what I wanted to do. It was my, I guess one way to, maybe the best, the easiest way to know me is that part of me, you know, is, and I think always will be, the 11-year-old kid that read all of Isaac Asimov's novels about robots and spaceships. And I always wanted to do that kind of thing. And so this was my opportunity, right? So I said, okay, let's do this. Initially what we did was we thought that we would make money by using media data like YouTube videos and stuff and turning that into advertising revenue. That turned out, and we built a lot of great technology, got a couple of patents in the process of doing all of that. But it turned out that was not a market that was that was not an opportunity that a company like YakTrak could easily exploit. Right. It was really ultimately now folks like Google have come to it anyway. So it was like kind of good in a way. What we did get out of those first few years was that Gartner fortunately spotted the very cool tech that we built. And they quite literally gave us, cool vendor. Gartner cool vendor in 2016, through that process of engagement. Then we subsequently became a client of theirs, and they educated us on the nature of the opportunity. that it was not so much on the media side as much as on the phone call side of things. And that's when we began to pivot the company around. And it took a couple of years, you know, to get all of the products and the engineering and all that worked out. And then by last year, ironically, you know, it's a bit odd to say that, but I mean, around the COVID time, you know, I suppose the IT business has benefited from the sort of virtualization to some extent of the economy. And the funnel really began to pick up. And this year we're seeing, albeit from a relatively small revenue base, we're seeing some amazing growth. I mean, you know, in the first half of this year, we've seen, I don't know, 500-700% more, growth. Absolutely. Yeah, it absolutely fantastic. Yeah, thank you. I mean, I think keeping up this level of growth, I mean, I don't know how we're going to do that. But anyway, it's very exciting. It's good to be here. So let me switch over to the what we do piece, right? I mean, I talked a little bit about the history of how we got here. So today, essentially, you know, what YakTrak is that we deliver speech analytics software, and our customers are essentially any business that uses phone calls to either sell something or to provide any kind of customer service, right? So let me give you a few quick examples of how we add value to our customers, how they find our software useful. So let's just say that it's a sales, inside sales type of activity. We use predictive machine learning to be able to, you know, figure out automatically that, you know, predictively qualify leads. So we can help our customers to triage and, you know, focus their limited sales resources on the right kind of customers and prospects and leads. The same concept. Now, that, although by and large, you know, what we do is very much out of the box for the most part. So it is kind of plug and play software, but the predictive machine learning is not. That's one thing where we actually do tend to customize a little bit, because to deliver that very high quality, you know, 90% plus accuracy and create that wow feeling with the customer, it's still kind of helpful for someone in a YakTrak lab to kind of massage the data, test it a little bit here and there, you know, take some custom data from the client and then kind of tweak it here and there. So it takes a little bit of work, not too much, you know, it may take a couple of days, couple of weeks at most, but we are able to deliver some really good quality results there. The same idea of predictive machine learning is also then applied to the area of customer experience, where we can automatically categorize customer experience issues. And, you know, for a sort of a food services delivery a client, that's some sort of a mini unicorn out of California, we're doing that, for example, on an omni-channel basis. So we don't just do that for their phone calls, but in one location, we can automatically categorize customer experience issues from their Salesforce cases, you know, from their emails, from their text messages, omni-channel across the board. So that's the predictive machine learning. That's one of the most useful, helpful things, you know, that we're delivering for our customers. We also do things like real time. There's a lot of glamour associated with real time. Real time is different in the sense that it's not so much about post facto business intelligence. It's more about supporting the agent in real time, right? So there's two ways to do that. One is that you can either do that with some kind of a supervisor heat map. So that's human intervention. There's a human supervisor kind of listening into the call and can sort of parachute into the call and whisper into the agent's ear and, you know, try to be helpful in some way. And then the other thing is an agent assist bot, which again can help the agent essentially with all kinds of tools and tips and suggestions in real time, you know, because it's listening into the call, right? Again, the agent assist bot, you know, we like to think that the best, the real sort of wow experience, it is a bit custom, so that's our take on the real-time piece. And we also do stuff like 360 emotion. So we don't just figure out emotion using words and their consequent meaning, but also the tonality. And then we combine the signals based on the emotional tone of the voice, as well as the words that they're speaking, and you put it all together and are able to give you that. So that's just a few of the highlights in terms of, you know, what we do. I could talk more, Jeff, but I mean, maybe you might want to, you know, take it in a certain direction. So I don't want to, you know, keep talking, you know, so why don't I head it back to you for a moment. Yeah,
so. Thank you. So obviously there's a lot there. There's a lot,
of capabilities there. So, nowadays, a lot of the sales trainers, coaches, managers, they create scripts for the telemarketers for people to, follow my script. I've done this 1,000 times. This will lead you down the path. So are you integrating that? Are you replacing this? How does,
Integrating, I would say integrating, because the thing is that's actually a capability that's out of the box for us. So you're actually talking about, script adherence in a sense, right? There's a script. And how well is your team adhering to a certain process or a certain script? So we can certainly do that as well. That's very much part of our out-of-the-box capability, actually, for our customers.
So you talked about some real-time feedback. So I'm just curious. So is the bot or your software kind of listening in on the conversation like you and I are having, for example? Would your program be monitoring us and then coaching the salesperson to kind of pick up on some of the inclinations, if you would, of what the prospect or your current client is actually saying and interpreting?
Yes, absolutely. Let me give you a hypothetical example, right? So imagine that my customer is some sort of a hotel chain in Las Vegas, right? And say they've got multiple properties, and you have a brand new call agent at one of their basic vanilla properties where they might not have like a fine dining Chinese experience or whatever. And that's supposing a customer calls and saying, this is what I'm looking for. And it so happens that product is available, just across town in a different property that this particular brand new agent who is in the sort of mid-scale, mid-range property might not even be aware of because they're new and it's not part of their property. But the machine should and is, smart enough to say, hey, wait a minute, if this is what the customer is looking for, of course we have this, and please say this to them, right? So this is the kind of, and this is why we believe that, custom is important, right? To give this real sort of wow feeling, you really want to be plugged into the very specific knowledge bases and databases and whatever of a particular client. Each of them will have their own unique infrastructure. There will be some sort of a unique middleware problem to be solved there to some degree, et cetera. So there's a certain custom aspect to these sort of things. But it can be a very, very powerful and exciting feature.
So then are the calls then monitored by a manager and then kind of becomes another coaching tool as well for the manager to work with the reps to better their skills?
Absolutely. We automate the process of quality assurance, which is that's something I didn't actually talk about. It's a more traditional aspect of speech analytics where you're measuring the performance of the call center agent. And think of our software as not replacing, the human quality analyst, but essentially helping them to sort of automate the process, make it far more effective. I have this sort of let's call it a military analogy. I mean, it's not military analogies are not popular with everyone, but generally this one is well received because it really, really communicates the point well. So today, evaluating the call center agent's performance, the Air Force analogy would be it's like being in World War I, right? If all you're doing is picking up at random one out of every 100 calls that an agent makes, just as a random sample, then, certainly we weren't around in World War I, but I've read some, books on the subject, and I'm guessing that the idea was just, hey, go up in the sky and try to find the enemy in the sky, right? There was no radar. There was no air traffic control. I'm willing to bet that 90% of the flights just came down because it's a big sky, and you can't just find people that easily by looking around. That's literally the state of the art today. And what we represent is like what happened in World War II, where radar has been invented, where you have air traffic control vectoring the Spitfires to that exact point in time and space where they are needed, right? And so that's essentially what our software does. Now, mind you, it gets mistaken for a machine that think of something beyond the F-35, like some sort of a super computer drone version of the F-35, which is so capable that it can just fly around and be completely situationally aware of everything that's happening hundreds and hundreds of miles around it. And it has everything in it, AWACS, armament, and it just finds stuff automatically and shoots it down, right? So that is not what we have. It's really a sort of a human augmented AI. it's not like some kind of a master bot that can rule the universe or anything of that sort, right? So oftentimes, sometimes, you know, when we demonstrate our products to the customer, they say, oh, but it doesn't automate everything. And we're saying, no, that was never the claim. What we're trying to say is that we can make your existing team 100 times more effective in terms of delivering quality management, really. So that's the right way, I think, to look at what we do on the agent evaluation side.
So you're talking about 100 times better. Is it based upon kind of a loaded question coming up here, or do you focus on increasing the close rates for the sales, or is it measured by increased renewal rates? How would you quantify the success of your program to a potential client?
Yeah, certainly, you know, when it comes to the specific, you know, sales applications, it's exactly all about increasing close rates.
Right.
You know, what I was just talking about, though, was a little bit different. Right? It's the other side of the call. You're evaluating the performance of the call agent rather than the final delivery in terms of the sales close rate as well. So there, you know, it's really more about improving the effectiveness, overall effectiveness of the quality management. Like, because if you're asking a quality manager to just randomly pick up one out of every 100 calls, it's like you might as well not bother, actually, because it's like a really hit and miss affair, you know. So that's what we're turning this into, a science, rather than it being an art. Like, because our software can scan every single phone call, right? So it's actually telling the quality manager, saying, you as a human, you only have enough time to listen to one out of every 100 calls. That has not changed. But instead of randomly picking up a call, you know, the AI software will tell you exactly which call you should be listening to for what particular criteria that you may have predefined in this report or whatever. So that's really the essence of what it is. Yeah.
So as a manager, you kind of, how can I phrase it, stack rank, so to speak, you know, calls that a manager also should be able to listen in on.
Exactly. Absolutely. You know, just imagine the power of this kind of software for, I forget his name now. And, you know, some years back, I think maybe I shouldn't bother with that. But I'd heard this urban legend about the CEO of one of these massive mobile telcos. Like, you know, we're talking about one of the top five players. And the urban legend was that he would personally listen to some of these support calls every day. And just imagine for someone like that. I mean, if he's so passionate about doing something like that, then my software, like, I mean, what we're doing at YakTrak, that kind of software, you know, that would help this executive, you know, absolutely make their time incredibly valuable by giving them a laser, you know, rifle shot into what it is that they're looking for.
Sure. I mean, I was a sales manager. I worked in corporate life for many, many years, and I used to do, you know, ride-alongs with reps, and I would try to listen on phone calls, but it was always one of those hit or misses, so to speak. You know, you devote an hour to, hey, John, I'm going to, you know, let's do a call from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock or 1 o'clock to 2 o'clock. John would dial, and then it was just all potluck whether or not, obviously, we actually got someone on the phone. So from a manager perspective, you know, I could conceivably, with all due respect, waste an hour of my time because he got nobody. And what you're telling me now is the bot would actually tell me, hey, go listen on this call.
Exactly.
And it would make my time more valuable as opposed to just sitting there for an hour listening. Hi, this is John with XYZ Company. You know, just wanted to reach out and introduce myself and, you know, listen to 25 of those.
Yeah. I mean, and maybe like a CXO might have a certain higher level focus or a more subtle expectation. But if supposing the job were to do something like PR management or legal management, right? Imagine looking for scanning these call center data sets for things like, you know, we're going to take legal action against your company, or we're going to take this story to the media. I mean, if that's where your interaction is, you know, I mean, you really want to know that, right? I mean, sure. Yeah. Because I think at that point, the agent might be afraid to actually even sometimes escalate because they might freeze in the moment. They might say, "Oh my God, can I fix this? So how?" And by then, it's maybe too late. And you know, so yeah.
So Jay, the name of our podcast here is obviously how we scaled. So yes. One of the questions I always ask is, so you started, obviously, your company, and you've grown it to where you are today. What did you do specifically to help you scale that our listeners can actually kind of think about and maybe implement on their own?
You know, I approached it very much, you know, the way an engineer would approach it, not the way a marketing person would approach it. Maybe we took a bit, I mean, in terms of a lesson learned, perhaps let me go to a negative before I go to a positive. In terms of a lesson learned, I think that maybe if I were to do this all over again, I might spend more time initially, on the product marketing side, and a little bit less maybe on the engineering innovation side initially, get more feedback early, you know, from customers, as well. That would certainly shorten the life cycle, I think, of the entire, you know, product market fit kind of thing. But really that's what the process was, you know, from my point of view, that it began, you know, from the perspective of someone like me as an engineer saying, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to put my stake in the ground here. It's speech-based AI for me. You know, that's what I'm passionate about. And then from there, and this was unfortunately the time-consuming part, right, essentially. Because it's like imagine the invention of the laser like 40, 50 years ago. Nobody knew what it was good for. And then somebody figured out, oh, you can make a few dollars by making it cut steel. But then somebody, a decade later, somebody figures out that, oh, but if you put it into bioelectronic equipment, then you can make 10 times more money. And then finally, you know, a decade later, okay, if you put it into consumer electronics, you can make huge amounts of money by using laser. So that entire 50-year process, I mean, in our case, was scrunched into about 10 years. And so that's essentially what we did. We came at it from saying, hey, we want to be in speech-based AI. How can we make this useful to businesses? And initially the idea was, you know, the advertising piece that I talked about, that we pivoted away from, you know, with a little bit of good input from Gartner and a couple of good advisor, other good advisors. That's when we pivoted over into phone calls. And then I think from there, it sort of emerged. You know, you'd say maybe there was a little bit of luck in terms of, I think the point at which our product market fit was really coming together was also perhaps the time around which COVID hit. And I think, I'm not quite sure exactly what happened there, but I suspect that a lot of the conventional budgets that went into things like real estate, et cetera, may have got put into things like IT, type investments. And a lot of that demand got brought forward. So things came together at the right time. Perhaps there was a little bit of good luck there. And that's pretty much how we are where we are. Yeah.
There's always some good luck involved in growing entities as well. How important has networking and, you know, from a social media perspective, you know, how do you go out as well to, you know, get your new clients from a marketing perspective?
So two parts of that answer. I'll talk about myself and then I'll talk about the company. So as for myself, you know, I mean, for me on the business side, my personal view is that networking has been everything, you know, for me, because there's two parts of my role in the company, right? The CEO thing is just like a fancy name, but I mean, in reality, what I do every day is that I work with my engineering team. I'm like the principal systems analyst and product manager that helps my team to work on the product architecture, and that's a different role. But when it comes to marketing, there are others on my team that are actually really good at the product marketing piece, at the sales and negotiation. My thing had always been that biz dev. So at least pre-COVID, I would do a lot of attending, you know, events. In those days, it was physical events, and then speaking at events, you know, doing that kind of biz dev work and that kind of networking. That was really my thing, and I did a lot of that. I think I am kind of good at that. So that's my contribution, you know, to the marketing side, on the networking side. And then when it comes to the YakTrax team, we've used a lot of LinkedIn actually, in our case. It's worked really well for us. We try to emphasize quality over quantity. So we haven't done a lot of the automation stuff. In any case, you know, LinkedIn doesn't even like that, it seems like they sort of, if you start using volumes and all that, they start blocking you anyways. So our approach has been to really focus on finding the right people. You're doing a lot of research, you know, making sure that you're sending out fewer messages, but to the right people. So, and that is working for us.
So if I was a company that was looking at your product, is there, you know, I have, you know, let me rephrase my question. So from a client perspective, what's your key industry, your key focus? Or is there X number of telemarketers or salespeople you're focused in on that would make this product or your company more of a fit for?
Well, yeah, that's a really important question. So here's the thing. We do both. We go to the end customer as well. But at the same time, you know, our primary focus is on partners. And we also have, I should also quickly mention that we have a two-layered offering. So we have something called CoreTrack, which is the speech-based AI platform. So essentially that there's no user interface there. There you just have phone calls and other metadata coming in. And then we have like, you know, JSON document-based data that can be outputted through an API. And many of our customers, you know, have their own UI or they have a different kind of a quality management. Right. So we do that. In that case, we basically sell data to them. And then on top of CoreTrack, we built our own product. It's called OmniTrack. That is essentially the sort of business intelligence speech analytics software product that we build on top of it. We offer both these products even on a white label basis. So we think of ourselves as a wholesaler. We like to believe that we offer the best value for money in the world of speech analytics. You know, there's a lot of great service that comes along with it. We're very flexible when it comes to the product as well as the business model. We're very aggressive about taking great ideas, you know, from our customers that come as requirements and then incorporating that into our products quickly. Gotcha. We're vertically, I would say we're somewhat agnostic though. You know, really, the industry vertical to us is less important than a business that wants to use phone calls for sales and customer service. Now, take the example of e-commerce, right? That's a question of management philosophy. There are businesses that are e-commerce businesses that are entirely focused around non-telephone based, you know, right, sales and service. Yep. They're not my customer, right. and because we do omni-channel, but we begin with the phone call, right? So then if because that's the hard part, that's the technically challenging part. And so on the other hand, any e-commerce business that likes to provide that kind of sales and service, you know, with a human touch with telephone calls, they're my client. And then of course, if they happen to use 10 different channels, including whatever email and Salesforce and whatever, then we'll accommodate all of that. But yeah.
So you kind of led into my next question. So you, if I'm a Salesforce.com user or a CRM user, you're able to integrate the dialers, the CRM programs to the actual call as well. So we can actually be able to track the call by company.
Yeah, we bring all of the data into one place. Absolutely.
That's great. That's
fantastic. And it's you know, obviously this is a shameless plug, but I would submit that there's a lot of companies out there that do this from the perspective of text analytics, and they are very good at what they do, right, in terms of analyzing pre-existing text. But because the audio piece is somewhat different and a harder and more technically challenging kind of a core AI problem, because that's what we have become very good at, for us, doing this sort of text analytics, the natural language understanding, it comes somewhat easier. It's sort of easier for us to adapt to the omni-channel delivery, you know, than for a text analytics provider to adapt to audio.
Gotcha.
So that's why, you know, I like to think that, you know, we are the right partner, if you will, for a lot of people that want to, that have those types of businesses that use phone calls. Yeah.
That is great. So Jay, if our listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they find you?
Yeah, sure. So the easiest way would just be to go to yaktrak.com. That's YACTRAQ, Yankee Alpha Charlie Tango Romeo Alpha Quebec.com, yaktrak.com. And yeah, there, just get in touch directly from Yaktrak. You know, it'll come, the messages come not just to me, but also to the rest of my team. So that way, you know, there's always someone going to be looking at your message, and so, we'll get back to you pretty soon.
That's fantastic. I really enjoyed our conversation. I find you're fascinating. The software fascinating. So as I said, as a former sales manager, VP of sales, having that coaching call with your rep, but having that extra thought process or that interpretation that your program provides would, I think, be a valuable tool for me as a manager or as a VP in my company to help my people, help them grow and help them get better at what they do. So I think there's a tremendous service that you provide. And listeners, reach out to Jay. learn more about his program, and ask him some questions. So thank you, Jay, for joining us today. I totally enjoyed having you. Any last words?
No, I'm good, Jeff. Thank you so much. Thanks for having us on your show. I mean, yeah. And
my pleasure.
Look forward to you know, working with your anybody that gets in touch. Yeah.
Fantastic. So everyone, thank you for joining on How We Scale. This is Jeff Brandeis bringing you another episode of How We Scale. Stay tuned for another episode coming up in a few more days. And thanks for listening, everyone. Jay, again, thanks for joining us. Have a great day. Be well. Thank you so much for joining. I truly hope everyone enjoyed the podcast here and our special guest. I know each of you are really excited to possibly even be a guest on our podcast. So feel free to fill out the application form that's below. We'll follow back up with you, be in touch with you, and it'd be great to have you. In addition, I know I'll be reaching out to you to see how we might be able to even do some business and have a conversation about working together. Again, thank you so much for joining our podcast. And if you do know of someone else that actually would like to be on the podcast, feel free to recommend him or her to also fill out the application below. Again, thank you so much for joining. Have a great day and see you next week on How We Scale.